Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, to score 4 tickets, it's time for the Frank's Mr. Plumber Plunger Toss with the Buffalo Bisons. 4 tickets to a Bisons home game on June 29th at 105. Try your luck tossing a plunger into Hank the Tank, the giant 6-foot toilet, for a chance to win a Frank's t-shirt signed by a Bisons player. Make sure you're ready to throw because you must participate in the plunger toss to win these tickets, courtesy of Frank's Mr. Plumber.
Wait, do what? You must what?
You have to participate.
You must participate in the plunger toss.
Yes. And you're throwing some sort of plunger into a 6-foot toilet.
Where does the toilet measure 6 feet? At the back of the bowl? At the rim?
That's a good question.
Diameter?
I feel like it's got to be the bowl.
Bowl 6 foot high?
I feel like the bowl.
Well, then you're throwing it up.
The plunger?
Yeah.
Yeah, how would you do like that? You would want to whip it up, right? Or do you want to throw it like a javelin?
Well, it's not going to... Aerodynamically, it's not going to javelin. I think you've got to throw like an axe.
If the plunger's on the bottom.
End over end.
Like an axe. Wait, like two-handed, like over your head?
That might be right. What's the circumference of the bowl? Okay,
We're
going to call the Bisons, find out.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Jeremy and Joe. Good morning. You can give us a ring on, you know, anything.
I had thought 1 month from training camp.
I had a thought over the weekend. You guys ever play racquetball?
I have never played racquetball.
No?
No.
Josh Owen, ever play racquetball?
Did you play?
I've played racquetball, yeah. A good amount.
I played once or twice. I used the racquetballs as my warm-up for my eyes when I was playing goalie all the time, though.
Yeah.
Those balls are awesome.
Because pickleball's all the rage. I've never played pickleball. Seems like it's plenty fine.
Yep. Is it similar to pickleball?
It's in a room, right?
It's much more athletic than pickleball.
Oh.
I think, right? Isn't pickleball...
Yeah. It's quicker.
Isn't the idea that pickleball's not that athletic?
Yes.
Yes. I don't want to say too much. I've not played it.
It was designed in retirement home communities in, like, Florida.
Yeah, yeah. So you play, like... It's like... Okay. Racquetball is a much faster game.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit the ball hard. It comes hard. I don't know why I thought of it. Probably because my son is now, his entire identity has become tennis. I don't know where. He just found one of my old racquetball rackets. It's probably 30 years old. And now we have these foam balls so he can play tennis. He wants to play tennis and volley in the driveway. He's actually pretty good at it. But I started thinking about racquetball because this is going to be a very deep pull. And no one else listening could possibly, I guess somebody could know this. Where I grew up in Auburn, the Auburn YMCA, racquetball courts, it used to be that they would be, gyms would have racquetball courts, but it wasn't exactly an optimal use of space because you need
big rooms.
Huge
right?
rooms.
Yeah.
2 stories tall. And
right, tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big, tall room. So there's, they go up. The Auburn YMCA used to be that you would have to go through this secret doorway, secret stairs, up, and you thought you were urban exploring into the depths of somewhere, and you just turn a corner and there's 4 racquetball courts. Like, oh, look at that.
Uh-huh.
There was a spot to watch from above if you wanted to watch somebody play racquetball. Anyway.
Now, this is...
It was always weird. You have the big door that opens and a window, and it shuts. You're putting yourself into a giant box.
You're in a giant box where can't you hit it off any wall?
Yes.
At any point, or do you have to go to one wall?
Well, you have to hit it off the front wall. It has to make it to the front wall.
Okay.
But you can use the other walls to get it to the front wall.
Okay. So you can't. Okay, I see. So it does have to go one direction. It has to go to that direction at some point.
Yes, and there's lines on the court about where it can and can't hit, and you've got to hit it before second bounce.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun, and it, you know, build up a good sweat, good short area quickness, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why did I think about it? I don't know.
It looks intense.
It's fun.
Because it's happening. Everything's happening super fast.
It's definitely fun. It's a sport where you might want to wear goggles because you can.
Don't you ever collide with the person you're in there with, though?
Sure. Sometimes. You know, that's part of the agility.
Yeah.
You got to move around. It's fun.
Could it be an Olympic sport?
Sure. If it's not, it could be. I mean, it's.
Are you sure it's not an Olympic sport?
It certainly takes skill. I've never seen it played at the Olympics.
I mean, if table tennis is.
I mean, they're adding all these new. Games.
I have seen table tennis played at the Olympics. I've never seen racquetball.
That's what I mean. If table tennis can be there, I feel like racquetball should be there. If you watch the videos of it, it is like these people are athletes.
Oh yeah,
like the way they're cutting back and forth, like
you're hitting fast.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
it's fast.
It's a ton of fun.
I think of it more as like a country club sport.
I mean, they used to have racquetball courts at one of the BACs. It's not here anymore by the Boulevard Mall. Used to be courts there. Used to be courts. Where else did I play locally?
Like, I could go play today if I really wanted to, do we think?
I don't know where the current closest racquetball court is.
Uh-huh.
There used to be one at the old Bally's. There was a Bally's Fitness. There was racquetball courts
up
there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it takes up a lot of space. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
Yeah, we've been getting out to tennis courts the last couple weeks. It's all about tennis. Wakes up, wants to play tennis.
Put Wimbledon on in front of him this week.
You know what? I might.
It's an idea.
Yeah.
This is different than squash, right? Or is squash the same thing?
It's played on the same court, I believe.
But it's a different sport?
I've never played. Yes.
But it's used in this. It's in the same box room, basically.
Yes. I guess squash courts are smaller.
Okay.
But I've never played squash. I've only played racquetball.
Gotcha. Okay.
The most experience I have with squash is the Bluey episode. Squash.
I don't know what that is.
They play squash in the episode.
In Bluey?
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It is Monday, June 23rd. We're 1 month away from training camp. We are 4 days away from the NHL draft. Sabres select 9th.
You don't care at all about the draft itself, right? That's where I kind of am now, where like the draft for me is just an event where I might get trades. That's what it serves for me now is like I'm going to maybe get trades. If the Sabres picked like first or second, maybe that'd be a little different. Because 10 years ago, like the Eichel draft was different because you knew what was going to happen. So there was like it was an event, but there wasn't really a curiosity about what was going to happen. That for me was the draft before that. The Reinhardt draft was...
Who are they going to take?
Who are they going to take? Yeah. Who are they going to end up with? Which one are they going to prefer? And that was kind of like a much more mild version of the 2018 NFL draft, which was in the build-up, everybody's got their guy. Like, I still have friends that will go back and forth with like, oh, he was a Dreisaitl guy. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And then he was a Bennett guy. He was a Reinhardt guy. Like, everybody had their guy that they liked. And since that draft, I don't ever remember experiencing an NHL draft like that.
I read an article that was going back to redraft the 2015 draft. That's McDavid and Eichel and Marner and Werenski and Timo Meier. And
Dylan Strome.
Mikko Rantanen.
Yep.
You know, like, what did the Sabres do that draft? They picked Eichel and they traded their other two firsts. They had three first-round picks that year.
They did. That's right.
They drafted Eichel and they traded their other two firsts. And the guys that got taken in those spots, like, this draft is a unique draft because – most of the players taken in the first round played 100 games or more. The number of players out of 30 picks in the Eichel and McDavid draft, how many guys did not play 100 games? The answer is 4.
Out of 30?
Out of 30. 4.
That's pretty good.
And the Bruins took 2 of them.
Oh, yeah. They had 3 in a row. And at the time, everyone was like, they picked guys that everyone thought were going to be like second, third round picks.
They took Jake DeBrusque. That's the one they picked who played.
That was an NHL player. He's still good.
But that draft, if you could, you know, all the go back and do it over again, you know, don't trade for Kane. Don't trade for O'Reilly. Sorry, Kane was not that. Don't trade for Robin Lehner because that was a first round pick in this draft. That ends up being...
Colin White. I'll always remember the name Colin White for that.
He played 323 games. Not that he was, you know, like amazing, But man, like, you had three picks, and I'm reading an article about how it's the best draft of all time. And you had three, and you took one guy.
And he's not here.
And he's not here. And he was great.
And he's not here.
And he's great. Anyway. No, what do I think about for the draft? My memories of the draft are how the NHL draft guide, when it would come out, used to include the nicknames of the players.
Oh,
kind of okay. Like Pro Football Reference does.
Yes.
You'd open up the draft guide and, mm-hmm. like, let's look at this, the 2025 prospects and who might get taken.
Mm-hmm.
You would see, all right, here we go. NHL for the prospects rankings. It would say, oh, center from Medicine Hat, Bugsy.
Bugsy.
It would just tell you what the guys, yeah. Matthew Schaefer, number one North American skater, defenseman, Erie, nickname Schaefs. Or Chief, or
uh-huh.
it was in the NHL media guide for the draft. It's one of my memories of the draft. Other than that, you know,
that draft really it was. You know where Eichel ranks in points amongst that draft?
Is he third?
Fifth.
Fifth.
He's behind McDavid, Marner, Rantanen, and Aho.
Yeah, he's missed a lot. He missed a lot of time.
He played. Yeah, he's played like 40 fewer games, 50 fewer games than. Than a lot of those guys. It ended up being pretty accurate, right? The two generational guys.
Pretty close.
I don't know that, you know, are you stretching the word generational to include Eichel in that at the end of the day? Because
for sure.
There are Eichels.
For
He's one of the best players in the league, but there are 10 guys about as good as him. McDavid is the one that's clearly...
Right, McDavid has 1,000 points.
Right.
And the next closest is Marner has 741.
Right, like the difference between those two ended up being probably a lot larger than maybe it was even being given credit for then.
Sure.
Because it's a huge gap.
But.
Huge gap.
Huge gap, but definitely a player worth thanking for. Definitely you're not going to get a player that good really any other way than picking at the top.
No, right. He goes first overall like almost every draft.
Yeah, and Florida.
Eichel does.
It's funny that the Florida Panthers don't get more talk. They're a super team.
Yeah, they are.
The Panthers are a super team. The NBA got all this pub for super teams. That's what Florida is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they are.
Good for them.
But why don't they get that? Because, one, hockey doesn't really do that. And, two, they built it more, what's the word, naturally than?
No, I don't know. Sure, what's naturally?
Like then,
trading for the players?
Like, and they didn't quite do NBA super teams when you think of those are. That player's already like the best, like one of the best in the league, and they decide to join up.
Right.
A lot of the guys
make friends. Like it's
right.
They're really two. The Heat and the Warriors get talk like that. But before that, the Lakers added Karl Malone and Gary Payton to Shaq and Kobe, right? Like,
okay. Well, there were the Celtics, too, with Steve Nash, Garnett, Allen, and Pierce.
Yeah.
But that's not what the Panthers. Like, the Panthers guys weren't thought of in the way that they are now when they got there.
No,
right?
Other
than Marchand.
Right.
But, like, even Tkachuk a little bit, right? Tkachuk wasn't thought of as highly as he is now. And that's definitely true of, like, Bennett and Reinhardt for sure. So I guess they get... They probably don't get called that because a lot of those guys got better once they got there. It wasn't – they formed a Justice League of superstars, right? Like, they would get that – I threw this out just jokingly last week. If McDavid went there, they would get called a super team.
Oh, for sure.
In a heartbeat. If Marner went there this offseason, they'd be called a super team.
Dreisaitl?
Sure. Anybody like that. But I feel like it takes – a guy that everybody already recognizes as a superstar. He goes to a team that's already really good.
Yeah.
That's the only time you're ever calling them a super team.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I think that's it. But, like, are they one? They probably are. They're dominant.
Yeah.
And they're really trying to make you hate them now because they're being a bunch of jerks.
They are partying pretty hard. I saw Evan Rodriguez crushing a beer on the street. Not myself. I saw a video of it. He posted it or somebody posted it.
Yeah. They got a good attendance at their parade, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, there was some worry I saw, like, hey, middle of the day in the weekend and maybe their last parade, there wasn't as many people as they wanted, but they got a good turnout, I guess. Not as many as, you know.
I wouldn't be too.
At Edmonton, I'm sure the whole city would have been filled. But.
Imagine if your biggest problem is your parade turnout. A little disappointed in our parade turnout.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
NHL draft is Friday. So we'll see. I bet we're going to get some heavy dose of rumors today. You know, it's, you know, you mentioned earlier, is this the slowest time of year in sports? And the answer to that is yes.
Wimbledon season.
Yes. NBA draft is when?
This week.
This week, too.
It's like a couple days after Wednesday.
Yeah. All right. So Wednesday NBA, Friday NHL.
Yes.
The finals end on a Sunday. The draft is a Wednesday.
Do you like that they don't spread it out?
I just don't think – I think they
doesn't
know,
matter as
I,
much.
I think they know they're more likely to keep the momentum from the finals and then go away.
Yep.
As opposed to the NFL, which can dominate the landscape for 2 months leading up to the draft. These sports know that they can't do that.
There's no build up. There's no, you know, ESPN's not leading their shows with what a team should do for 2 months.
No, what they're doing is asking if the Thunder are a dynasty, which has happened today on the show. Are the Thunder going to be a dynasty? Which I've seen.
Going to be, not are, right? They're not doing that yet.
Yes, yes. Are they an impending dynasty?
Man, I hope not.
Jason in South Carolina. Hey, Jason, good morning.
Hey, guys. Nice talking to you guys. First time, long time. Tuned in earlier about the conversation about goalie, and I keep coming back to, because I think that option, you know, like you guys are talking about with Owen, that I think that's probably unrealistic, but it's getting two right shot defenders for this team and really focusing on that as opposed to looking at goaltending, because again, I think that getting that goaltender is probably not something that's going to happen for this team. And I just keep coming back to that. I mean, through free agency, I think Ekblad has a pipe dream, Gabrikov a possibility, but I just feel like this team needs those two right shot defensemen to really, again, defenders. We don't need guys that can skate the puck. We need guys that can get, you know, one pass out of the zone to kind of complement Dahlin and Power. So that's kind of my first point. Second point is just on, you know, Matthias Samuelsson, and, you know, I know Owen played the game and talked to his dad. I just would love to hear those conversations between Ulf and Shel Samuelsson with Matthias and just the way that he plays the game. I mean, he's a great defender, but just looking around when, you know, name the players on the ice getting cheap shot, and it just would be nice to see that guy be able to do more than just defend. So just some thoughts, guys. Love the show and appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you.
I wonder, I mean, those are things that I think they need, but is it enough for them to just go get a couple of good defensemen that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of? You mentioned the one name. 2 seconds on Gavrikov. Vlad Gavrikov, who was in L.A., not like a household name. He's 30 years old. He's super good defensively, and he's got a connection point to Jarmo Kekalainen because Jarmo drafted him, and he played for years in Columbus. They could go pay him $6 million a year, and I don't know that's going to move the meter for people. It might be the move they need, but what is there anything – I'm more wondering if there's anything they could do that will actually raise expectations, like raise belief that, okay, this is the year it's going to do it, rather than just now it's more, well, it's got to happen at some point. That's kind of the attitude, I think, right now. It's got to happen at some point. So I'm not saying they shouldn't do those things, but I want to see – you know, I want to see them do something they're not going to do, which is go be ultra aggressive. Go show a bit of desperation. So, I don't know. That could be Ekblad. Ekblad would be different. Ekblad, that's a big name. That's a high draft pick. That's a champion. That's a guy you are overpaying for big time.
Yeah.
You are paying him big money. And that would be one where, like, oh, look at Buffalo. They got Ekblad? That would be a different move, even though the players might actually not be that different. You could even argue Gavrikov's better.
So the idea of a buyout for Samuelsson,
sure,
it makes total sense, right?
On every front.
That they can just get out from under it. There's savings, and then there's cap hits. And like the cap hit is not anything to ever worry about.
It's $700,000.
Yeah, the Sabres actually might wish it were higher for like what the cost against the cap is. Am I not?
No, I know. I'm not even saying you're right. It's just amazing to hear.
I mean, they traded for Ben Bishop because they needed the cap hit on the books, and they did it with Johnny Boychuk too. So, I mean, I'm wasn't trying to be snarky. He was just trying to say,
no, like, I know,
714 is really low. That's not prohibitive at all. It doesn't hurt your ability to your internal budget and your actual savings. You save $3.5 million a year. Just kind of, it's kind of like a refund.
Right. Instead of you owe him $21 million left on his contract, you would be paying him $7 to buy him out right now.
Yeah.
And you would do it now because there's a, I think the reason it's so low is because he's not 26 years old yet.
Right.
Like the buyout is cheap when you're young. Next, so if you wait a year,
the actual cap hit is 1.4. So it doubles in a year.
And you'll owe him that money.
Yes.
You'll have to pay him 14.
Yes.
So if they're going to do it, you would do it now.
Yep.
And is there any defense for not doing it? Is there any defense that anyone wants to make for, no, bring it back. Run it back. Bad year. He'll figure it out.
What's the lesson learned here? Samuelson on...
Don't pay a guy after playing 50 games in the NHL?
October of 2022.
I mean...
He got a seven-year extension. 7 years.
October of 22, he had played 54 games in the league.
Yeah.
I don't even care about the goal stat. He's not supposed to score. Right? He had never scored before that contract.
7 years.
54 games.
7 years, $30 million after 50 games. And at the time, it was a little bit of a... I mean, he was pretty good. We liked him. But it was wouldn't it have approached the economic, effective, efficient, cost certainty, this will be a bargain, and here we are 3 years into that seven-year extension, and it's like, it makes the most sense probably just to axe that thing. You almost wonder, this is the kind of thing that I feel like Kevin Adams can't say, but would they have known, like, let's do this, and if it doesn't work out, the buyout is low. You might build.
I wonder if they.
You
if
might
they
build
that,
that in. Like this is. I'm going to give them some credit. This might have been a road they knew it could go down. Let's get him locked in. If it works out, he's long term and he's cheap. And if he doesn't, the buyout after
2,000
is easy. It's almost like an NFL style contract. Oh, look at this seven for 30. Actually, it was like 2 for 12.
Yeah,
and it didn't work. And we're gonna wipe our hands of it.
That's not bad. I mean,
that might be a dream to suggest that they thought of this scenario. And if you're Kevin Adams, you kind of don't want to say that you thought about that scenario, right? You can't say we signed this contract and we thought, well, if it doesn't work out, because then I don't know. You might catch a little heat for that.
Maybe, but you're kind of showing that you thought that there was a chance it would fail all along.
Yeah,
that you were committing. Maybe not as much you were committing that money, but you were committing that role to a player that you weren't really sure about.
Right.
But again, how could you be sure? 54 games.
Right, that's what I mean.
Like, so, it almost feel like you kind of had to know at least that there was an out at some point, even if you believed the player would continue to develop. And really, they do kind of probably luck out that they did it so early, because even though, sure, you could criticize them for 54 games, they paid a guy. What if they, because that was almost too far. You went the extreme of paying guys early. But what if they had waited a year? What if they had waited a year? After 22-23, they missed the playoffs by 1 point. Wasn't there a stretch where they were like 0-8 without Samuelson?
Yeah, he was the...
They couldn't win without him.
They called him the eraser, right? Or something like that? Or like he was the...
The viper, right? Because he would stick.
He would just kill entries.
Right. Imagine they'd waited a year and they paid him after that season.
Right.
What would he have made?
Well, the point
would it have been different?
The point would still be they could buy him out now, right? Because of the age.
Sure.
So, again, I have no idea if they could have thought of that. It might be a dream to think they would have thought of that. You know, Pablo in the chat writes in on the YouTube chat, like, "Hey, even if you didn't think of that, run with it." Like, let's say that.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a happy accident if the buyout does happen. Again, you are now down a player that you thought was going to be a core piece. But the punishment is not significant, and you might have just built it in. Does Lukanen have a buyout like that?
He's the player I feel most fans want to just wipe their hands of more than anybody.
Lukanen?
No, Samuelson.
Oh, okay.
The number one. Like, you pull the fan base. One guy you just don't want to see in the team again, I'd be stunned if Samuelson wasn't number one.
Like Lukanen.
Lukanen's probably up there, too. But
just looking at a Lukanen buyout. Yeah, cap hit. Okay. I just wanted to know. I was trying to see if, like, is there another long-term contract that would have structured in a certain way that, based on age?
Is he just old enough?
No, if you bought him out right now, you'd save about $5 million. His cap hit is 1.5 for 3 years. Like, instead of 4.7, you could get out from that.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I could see them doing Samuelson. Three buyouts on your cap at the same time, though. Something about that just feels like they're not going that far. Like, Samuelson's the one, and then that's probably it.
Yeah.
Because Luukkonen...
He's 26. Luukkonen, you're paying 12.6 instead of his remaining 9. So it's not as big of a savings as it is with Samuelson. It doesn't make as much sense, obviously, and you know, you might have more faith you can get him back to where he should be.
I mean, these two guys are both examples, though, of a point we've made a lot, which is just these are the guys they counted on to say, we don't need veterans. What do we need? What do we need to go get this guy for? Lukanen's going to take a step.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel, like, these were the guys trusted to be the supplementary pieces around their core, right? Maybe Lukanen, you would say he's the goalie. He was a part of the core, but the guys around Thompson and Dahlin and Tuck, if you want to throw him in there too, like those are the guys that kind of let them down. Cousins and Samuelson and Luukkonen, like these guys were supposed to be that next layer of supporting cast, and it's just almost all of them have let you down.
803-0550. Heat advisory in effect for today. Weather advisory. Heat indexes in the upper 90s today and tomorrow, so stay cool if you can. This afternoon, it'll feel like 95 to 100.
Ooh.
Tomorrow, blazing heat index around 95. Drink fluids, air conditioning, stay out of the sun, check on relatives and neighbors, vulnerable to the heat, all that. You know, very, very, very warm today. And the week is supposed to be pretty warm. Thunderstorms and rain rolling in later in the week. See if it dings the 100 holes. We played through a crazy rain like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Biblical stuff. Caddyshack.
Did you play through it?
No, we couldn't. Physically couldn't play golf anymore. Not because we...
Like the ball wouldn't travel?
Yeah. Like there's a green and there's 3 inches of water on it because it's raining. You can't.
You can't even
chip it. Trying to hit it out of a creek. Yeah, we had to stop 1 year after like 75 holes. Anyway, all right, that's it. That's not it. We got more. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at the top of the hour. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring on really anything as we wait for some Sabres news in this offseason, which is underway here on WGR.
I mean, first of all, none of us knew how to do it. So so it was more like, you know, like those like YouTube tutorials. And so we were just asking AC how to do it. And so it was a kind of... Not really in sync because no one knew how to do it. Yeah, shout out to AC for kind of teaching us how to pop champagne, I guess.
You seriously didn't know how to open a champagne bottle?
No. I mean, when I won in Lithuania, they just drank hard tequila. So it's just hard liquor straight.
It's the last thing you had to YouTube for directions to do. You got anything there? Top of mind? How to open a champagne bottle?
How to check your oil.
Yeah? There's a dipstick?
Yeah. Champagne bottle, I don't think I would need.
I think we're both very familiar with this, the golf swing tutorials on YouTube.
Well, that's a whole other animal.
No, they come for
that
me.
That is very different.
They come for me. I don't seek them out.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of them. I've been slowly ruining my game for years.
Is there like a ridiculous one that I haven't? Like the to reconnect the little handle can come off, like on the when your toilet handle, like
okay, like inside the toilet.
Yeah, you got to take it and you put it back on. I think I did that probably years ago.
I had to look up how to change a water pump on a washing machine.
Wow.
A couple months ago.
And did it work?
Oh yeah, I fixed it completely. I was pretty
just
proud of
YouTube
myself
tutorials.
Actually. Yeah, my my girlfriend's sister, her washing machine broke, and I was like, I think it's the water pump. So I took it out and replaced it, and it worked.
Nice.
Yeah.
It drain. We had an old washer. We had a drain. Like how to empty that and clean out that.
A significant portion of my carpentry experience was initially learned from YouTube videos.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that going on.
Have you seen the viral video of the Stanley Cup celebration on the top and the NBA celebration on the bottom?
No.
As the clock ticked down? It's like, is it going viral? Whatever. Like, it's being shared everywhere as, like, why is the NBA look like nobody really cares right when the buzzer goes down?
Okay.
As compared to hockey where everybody's going nuts.
Can I tell you something about last night's NBA game?
Go ahead.
I thought about this last night watching, and I don't know why I thought it. I don't know. I don't have anything to back it up.
Okay.
Watching that game felt like I was watching a movie about an NBA game, and the fans in the stands were all extras. Something about it seemed so...
Okay.
And I started thinking, like, why do
scripted I... Scripted almost?
No, just... that no real people were in the stands. It was all just extras who were cheering and making noise. And I like I said, I don't have any reason I thought that. I'm asking myself, like, why? Is it because it's not Spike Lee? Is it because it's not L.A.?
Is it because
it's not...
Yeah, right. They were all wearing the same thing.
But that happens sometimes.
Shirts.
It was just kind of this thing when I'm thinking, am I watching a computer generation of what a crowd looks like? Like I'm watching a crowd in a college football game, and they're all just...
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea why I thought it.
Have two possible explanations for why you thought this. One is the fact they were all wearing the same clothes. They were all wearing the same color, all wearing the same t-shirt.
That happens in whiteouts. It's not that unusual.
But two, the Thunder fans stand for the whole game.
Okay.
And I think maybe the way that looks...
There's never like, a standing up.
Right. Like if a big moment happens... Like, everybody doesn't get up and move to stand up because everybody's already standing up.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what's going on, is there seems like a more uniformity because everybody is already standing. Like, that could have something to do with it.
Okay.
Because that is not normal. Like, in basketball, at least. I'm sure, like, we know Bills fans do that, and I'm sure there are other NFL teams that probably do too. But,
yep.
Like, basketball, nobody does that. Stands the whole game.
Yeah, I'm not here to tell you they're fake fans or anything like that. I don't want to throw stones. Like,
no, I kind of get the vibe you're
something about it was
though.
Just like, I don't really have any. Maybe I'm who was it that said that a course had no soul? Was that
was it Quail Hollow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoever it was, like, this course has no soul.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like that, and maybe
the game had no soul.
It really might have been the Halliburton injury that did that.
Yeah,
really. Where the Halliburton injury happens, and I just kind of, it'd be cool if Indiana won this, but if they don't.
Took the wind out of everything.
Yeah, the whole thing is just, it just doesn't feel the same, you know? So I don't know. That's my best explanation.
We talked earlier about like injuries like that in a championship game. Like, star player goes down in the finals, game 7. There were two Super Bowl ones that we didn't mention.
Okay.
Recent. They're not quarterbacks, though. So it's not quite the same, but when Dre Greenlaw...
Oh, in warm-ups.
Not in warm-ups. When he ran
on
the
field
for his first play, and he goes down. And the other one is Beckham. Odell Beckham.
That was tough.
He's on his way to winning Super Bowl MVP.
Probably.
Now, they win anyway. So that helps, right? To kind of forget that a little bit. But Beckham is going to win Super Bowl MVP, and he tears his ACL in the second quarter, third quarter, but he doesn't finish the game. So those were two other examples of that. And then quarterback ones, I guess there were a couple from like the 70s, like Bradshaw got hurt in a fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. So again, a lot of these teams end up winning anyway. Not last night might be like one of the top all time for this. Like, taking the wind out of the game because the star player just bang, out for a year. Just like that. And now
that's the other worst part of it is like not only is he out for the game you need him tonight, but
he's out for next
year. A long process.
Like I saw odds for next year in the NBA, the Pacers are nowhere to be found. Celtics aren't either because they're in these playoffs. They've lost their two best players for a year. So if you're a Knicks fan, not to say you're happy at all that two guys got hurt, but you're like you're the favorite in the East right now just because two teams lost their best player.
803-0550. Extendo Sports coming up, then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Tell everybody, Joe.
There is a story from Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. She's on Sabres Live a lot.
The big sigh is not like bad news.
No, she's just like the most written player in the league right now is J.J. Paterka.
Yeah,
she has an article, the 12 destinations for J.J. Paterka. 12! First team listed is Toronto, by the way. Maple Leafs number one. I mean, he's not like a player that I'm like going to be mad to see in a different uniform, right? Like, it's not going to be me for him.
They did just trade Cousins to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Paterka, I don't know.
Toronto, number one. Utah, number two. The Mammoth. There's the Rangers, Vancouver, Tampa Bay, Calgary, Islanders, Penguins, Blue Jackets, Blues, Devils, Senators, and...
There is a team named the Mammoth.
There is. Sammy Sosa was back in Chicago for the first time in 21 years. They welcomed him back. Can you name the three teams, not name the Cubs, that Sosa played for?
The White Sox.
Yep.
The Rangers.
Yep.
The Marlins.
Nope.
White Sox, Rangers.
2000.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five. He played for
I'm not gonna get it. I mean, I could just start naming teams, but
Baltimore.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna get that.
Don't remember him on the Orioles?
I don't.
Josh was telling me about something that happened in NASCAR over the weekend.
Yeah, there was I saw this from Dave Buchanan this morning. J.P. Keeley, a former Bandits player, was hit by a tire on a pit crew, like a pit stop in NASCAR. He's a pit crew member, and the two cars were coming in, and the one car somehow connected with a loose tire in the pit lane, and it hits Keeley in the chest.
Oof.
And then he picks up the...
Well, he's down for a second.
Yeah,
because he got hit by a tire.
Was he Iron Man? He got up?
Yeah, he got up. He apparently two fractured ribs and collapsed a lung, but he finished the pit stop. He picked up the gun and then took the wheel off, put a new wheel on.
Yeah.
And then he went like hobbled back into the pit lane.
It's crazy.
Hold on.
It really is crazy though, because like his tire's not moving very fast.
Oh, and it did all that 500 to him, pounds?
But, right, like, yeah. I guess it was moving a little bit fast.
They're heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, he got up, though.
A NASCAR tire weighs between 24 and 28 pounds.
What?
But hitting you at a fast-ish speed.
Okay, wait, that doesn't make sense, because you would be able to, they lift the tires.
Yeah, that's right.
It can't be,
but I mean, it's
500 pounds.
It's got some speed to it. It's only 28 pounds? Really? It's only 28 pounds?
Apparently, yeah.
All right.
Rim and
I don't know what I would have thought.
28 pounds. I'll throw a 28 pound dumbbell going 10 miles an hour at somebody, and it would, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't have me yet. Did I say out loud it was like 500 pounds?
I think you might have.
That doesn't make any sense at all. There's a fun board game. You ever played the game called Wits and Wagers?
Yes. Such a good game.
It's very fun.
Such a good game.
It's basically what we just did. It's the one I remember is, you know, you've got people on the board, and
yeah.
It's how heavy was the heaviest cat ever recorded? And then one person guesses, and everybody kind of slots in above or below, and you find out the right answer, and you get to make fun of people who think the heaviest cat ever was like 250 pounds.
But like you would say that number, and then I would get to bet on whether you're right or not.
Yes, or you'd...
Or like would someone else also answer? Like would Josh say 28 pounds, you would say 500, and I have to bet on like who's right?
Yes, or closer to which one. Something you put like a that. Number in between. I've only played it like once or twice, but it was fun.
Sam, it was a really good game though.
What else? Today's June 23rd.
Wimbledon today.
Wimbledon begins.
Need some hockey movement somewhere. Come on, Sabres.
My all-time great Wimbledon memory, it'll be Sunday, July 13th this year.
When the two guys played a match that lasted 4 days?
No.
Remember that one?
It would have been...
Isner. Isner and Mahut. It went like, it's the longest game ever by like, it's like five times longer than any game ever. Like, it was literally over 3 days.
I'm trying to find, like, just Wimbledon. 1 year.
11 hours and 5 minutes.
Answer is Sampras Courier, 1993. I just remember watching that one.
Okay.
Jim Courier. Anyway, all right. The Northtown Automotive Expo Point Show is coming up. We're back tomorrow. Kevin Adams, I think, is meeting with the media tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 11.
Okay.
Him and Jerry Fortin are doing their pre-draft availability.
The most interesting thing that will come out of that is what he says about Paterka. Because he's going to be asked about J.J. Paterka.
Yes.
His name is everywhere. Are you open to trading him? There was a report that you are now listening. Maybe you didn't want to, but now you are listening.
Mm-hmm.
So that tomorrow, the GM will address the question. And what's the answer? You know, they've got a lot of time to think about the answer they want.
Yep.
But to me, that's the most interesting thing that could come out of tomorrow is what's the story on Paterka? Do you want to trade him? Are you eager? Are you willing to? Has he asked for a trade? His name's everywhere.
His name's everywhere.
What's the explanation? Are all these teams just really calling you? So that'll be tomorrow, 11 a.m. for some media availability with Kevin Adams and Jerry Fortin. We're back tomorrow. Maybe we get some juicy rumors in the meantime. Stay cool. Enjoy your day. Heat index, like 95, 100. So do your best to stay safe. Stay cool. We're back tomorrow here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.